Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers, locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, the rain coma has hit Jacksonville. We need it. There's no question we need it. And I, for one, got the lawn cut today, right before the storm. Actually having a really good day. Rolled out of the rock early, checked out day two of mandatory minicamp. A lot of offensive talk today. John DeFilippo early, Nick Foles late. Everything kind of cruising through a Wednesday. Nice and easy, no problems. And then, well, it was one of these deals. Dad, we need to go pick up some things before the vacation that we take to the Keys beginning on Saturday. I'm like, sure. Give me an opportunity to see my two daughters. Divorced dad, you drop whatever it is that you do, and you make the pilgrimage, pick them up, put a little bit of food in their belly, take them out and do all the right things. That's what dads are all about, especially divorced dads. Okay, you got to live by these brutal state laws and the wonderful state of Florida, which do just a terrible job of protecting dads. Dads should have more rights, okay? It's too often that women will hold it against the man, you know. And I'm not saying that's the case in my deal. I've been divorced now for a decade. So as we move forward, it gets better. And that's the way it should be. It's about the kids, people. It's about the kids. All right? But anyway, so everything's great. So all of a sudden we go and Target, and, you know, we need this. We need this. We need, you know, we need beach towels, we need floaties, and all. So we do all these good things. All of a sudden, we're backing up in the Key GMC Sierra 1500. All the women are looking at me in it, all shapes, all sizes, just checking out the truth teller. There were my two girls. All of a sudden, I get, where's my phone? Phone's gone. Brand new iPhone. I have two daughters. I think I've purchased now about 8 or 9 iPhones. Go back into Target. Look at every place that we were at. No idea where the phone is. So we're tracking it, LeVay, and it's somewhere on Bay Meadow. So, you know, I'm like, listen, you draw, I'll get out, we'll look. And all of a sudden, the heavens open up, and it's a freaking monsoon. The rain is coming in sideways. So we're tracking it, and it's as if somehow we dumped off some trash on the way, because that's what, you know, that's what dads do. You go pick up the girls, and the mom says, the trash, you got to go out. We bring out the trash. Think we might have left it in the back of the tailgate. We took the trash out. So drove away a couple hundred yards, probably fell off the back of the tailgate, and bam. But the rain got to it and just absolutely demolished it. So there you go. I got tomorrow. I got Friday. I got about 10 million things I got to do, but I guess I'm going to have to add to the list to go back and purchase yet another iPhone. And you know, I don't care what type of insurance you have on these damn phones. They just run you. There are more surcharges and this and that, this and that. You wait in line all day. I think the only thing that's worse is when you get called into the motor vehicles and you have to go in to get a new license or do anything. I mean, that is just like the worst experience for any of us, the biggest inconvenience of them all. But I'm already getting hives thinking about having to go back to the town center to go get myself a brand new iPhone. Of course, the normal dad would discipline and say, you need to be responsible. You need to learn right from wrong. But the divorced dad has no push. You have no power. You have no game. I mean, that's just the way it is. You got to deal with it that way. How's that for a diversion? Not thinking about Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Instead, just taking through the trials and tribulations of trying to be a dad and getting through a Wednesday in mid-June. Ballew and you till 9. My goodness, what a night, what a week. It began with a very good morning for the Jaguars. John DeFilippo very excited about this offense. The 90% is the number that he used when discussing the installation of this offense. It looks better. I don't think it's looked crisp the last 2 days. I don't know. Maybe this being really week four, because there really is very little difference between OTAs and mandatory minicamp outside of the name of what they're doing. It's not all that different. If you walked out there, you wouldn't know that one is one and one is not one, if that makes any sense. At least it did to me. But you can't really tell. I just don't think they've been as crisp this week, but it's still been very good. I mean, maybe we'll do some grades on Friday night, and you know, I'll pick out some things that I really did like and then some things that really didn't do anything for me because, you know, as I've said always before, there's not as if things really disappoint unless it's just really, really obvious. You just don't see disappointments. These are professional athletes. They're not hitting. And for the most part, you know, things are supposed to look good, if not better. But Flip today, you know, talking about the speed of this offense and talking about the speed of his wide receivers and how that core group gives him a little bit more boost and a little bit more burst, I should say, than he thought he had. And that's kind of been the theme that we have been discussing, and I say we as a station. I'm not going to speak for anyone else here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM, so I'll keep it with just yours truly. I've been raving about the speed. I mean, there's three guys now on this wide receiving core who all of a sudden can really run. I mean, you look at the camp that Chris Connolly has had. I haven't seen him drop a ball. You look at what Keelan Cole has done so far. I thought it has been just spectacular. You know, on top of that, certainly what we have seen with DJ Chark, who, in my opinion, has had the best camp of them all as far as the wide receivers. I've interviewed all three of them separately. We've played them for you here during the program at night. I think that they have been sensational so far in camp. And the ability to throw the deep ball. And Nick Foles again today talking about just how much more comfortable he is now as he has had about a month to work with these guys, you know, three times a week over the last 4 weeks. Tomorrow we'll wrap up camp for the next 5.5 weeks until training camp gets underway in the very late part of July. Love that today. And it's evident. I mean, him talking about the tight ends, which is still considered by many one of the most underrated groups on this football team. It's not pretty if you were to poll national writers, if you were to poll, hold on, we have an update here. Can I get a 20? Can I get a 20-second update? I have now received a text from my oldest daughter, Ainsley, saying that Tegan and somehow mom found the phone. Okay,
it's now, a miracle.
Well, first thing you asked me was about the iPhone tracking system, and it was on Bay Meadows, and we're like barreling down Bay Meadows, and I'm doing U-turns right around Deerwood, and I'm going back and forth, and you know my youngest daughter's out, and I'm panicking, so we're looking for the phone, and it's pouring, it's running sideways. So what I need to know now is, did they go back out and find it crushed on the side of the road? Or was it in their home and she just never took it with her? But all of a sudden, I'm starting to put a little smile on my face. It's not that I don't care. I mean, it's not. I do care. Obviously, I told you I was going to go ready to go buy her a brand new one. I just hate going in the stores. You know, it's so easy to be able to just hand the credit card and say, go. And do, but now the dad has to be there. He has to authorize everything. We need his thumbprint. We need his signature. I just, you know, the thought of going to the town center just makes my skin really crawl, and especially going into that store. It's not a cost deal. It's more of an aggravation deal. So I got a break coming up here in a couple of minutes. I'm going to have to place a call. Let me give you live updates on this. This is like a huge seeing my doc tomorrow, too. You know, LeVay and one of those deals where I got to fast tonight and fast tomorrow. And the first thing they do is obviously the blood pressure. And right now my blood pressure's up. I mean, I've been stressing over this. Certainly. But I wonder now if it will simmer down. I'll let you know here in a couple of minutes when we take our first break of the night. And then we'll come back and hopefully we'll be able to get off this and talk Jags for the next 2 hours. Because I have plenty of interviews. Juwan Taylor, talked with him actually yesterday. I ran it real late last night. You know, Tuesdays we push things back an hour because of helmets and heels. I think we ran it last night around 9:35 or so, 9:40 when we actually did it. So I want to play that for you coming up here in about 6 or 7 minutes. You know, usually these conversations are off the record, and I'm going to leave it at that. But I stood between the two best offensive linemen to ever play in Jacksonville today while watching day two of mandatory minicamp. 1010XL's Leon Searcy was to the right side of me. And I am a left-hander. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you knew that, LeVay.
I see you writing your notes all the time.
Yeah, I'm a lefty. So I had Searcy on my blind side. I'm sure it reminded him of Brunel. I had Bocelli on my left side. And to listen to those two talk about the offensive line is a damn treat. Because people like me and a lot of the listeners, you can tell what's going on skill position-wise. And I'm talking about even more technical things. I mean, obviously, if a guy breaks through a hole, you think he's a good back. But you can even get deeper into it. You know, what type of vision does he have? What type of patience does he have? The more you're seasoned, the more that you've watched, you'll learn about that a little bit more. Quarterback, you know, going through all of his drops, including a 7-step drop. Being able to put the foot in the ground and throw the football downfield. Being able to read through some progressions. Settling on dumping the ball down. Wide receivers, you know, their route tree. Their hands. The way they handle things when being contested. Football fans can recognize that. They can see that. Okay? The more that they really pay attention to the game and love the game and understand the game, the better off they are than just the Harry the Ham and Egger who's there to drink beer, pick up chicks, and, you know, screams whenever the team scores a touchdown. Those fans are fine, too. But it's tough in the ditch. And they were really explaining to me, Searcy was doing a great job explaining to me today about things that linemen do right and things that linemen do wrong. And I'm not going to take you all through that because I think that would be boring for most of the audience because we're talking about offensive linemen and, you know, get back to talking about, you know, people don't really care about the offensive line as long as they do their job. But boy, man, it was just one of those deals where I just sat around and just listened. I probably asked 5 or 6 questions talking about one particular guy and whether or not you could fix something. You know, and here was my analogy. I said, listen, around here forever, they tried to work on Byron Leftwich with his long delivery. They tried everything and they tried to fix it. Remember Chris Palmer in Houston when I was on in Chicago talking about him bringing up the stepladder, trying to fix David Carr, all right? And you were, I mean, the Tebow. You worked and worked and worked trying to fix his throwing motion, and you just can't. What about an offensive lineman? Can you change things if they have bad habits? They both said, absolutely you can. With solid work, solid coaching. So anyway, this was an old personal bit today. I thought it was very cool to listen to these two talk about the offensive line because, again, I think it's the hardest position to evaluate if you're just a member of the media who didn't play the game, even if you think you understand the game. It's the hardest position, in my opinion. And there you go. I'm always going to give you my opinion. So I enjoyed that today. Coming up, second-round draft pick, Juwan Taylor. Again, we played that very late in the program. You're going to hear from him as we get things rolling. A little bit later on, Leon Jacobs. Also, I have some sound from Leonard Fournette, Nick Foles, among others. We are jam-packed. We go until 9 o'clock right here on this Wednesday night, Into the Night with Rick Ballew.
¶¶
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, let's see here. The 55-53 says, hey, Rick, I know the conversation you had today with Leon and Big Bar off the record. Are there any of their general impressions that you can share? Like, are they optimistic? Thanks. No, I can't. But here's the beauty. They're both on 1010XL in 92.5 FM. I'm sure on their own, they are absolutely going to talk about the offensive line. I just don't want to say anything good and or not good without them being the one to say it, if that makes any sense. That's the way, and I don't even know if this was an off-the-record conversation. But it was a good one today. And, for instance, they told me this, which I didn't know. You go back to those great offensive lines that went to two AFC championship games in 96 and 99. Baselli asked me, he said, do you know who was the two weakest as far as the bench press on that offensive line? And I knew that Baselli was because I did the Tony Baselli show when I was on the ball for an hour back in, what, 96, 97, 98 with Tony. And I knew that he wasn't, you know, a physical freak when it came to strength. Now, he was incredibly athletic. You know, his feet work, his reach. Leon Searcy, to this day, I've heard it from literally, you know, 100 different people. And Baselli said it again today. Leon Searcy had the best punch of any tackle that Baselli had ever seen. But we were talking about athleticism. And, you know, what it's like, it was really fun. I mean, they were talking about being in Buffalo in that playoff game, about how they had Bryce Pop on one side and they had Bruce Smith on the other. They couldn't hear, could not hear anything. And, you know, I've been to Buffalo now, what, twice in the last 4 years, I believe, the Jaguars have been there. As a sideline reporter, and it was loud, but it wasn't anything out of control. Now, listen, I remember what it was like in Denver for the playoff game, how loud it was there. But they were talking about, you know, trash talk that Strahan was throwing at him. You know, and Reggie White. And going back and forth with some of the great defensive players that they faced, it was Leon that talked about, you know, being athletic and, you know, the bench press. Oh, I know what it is. We're going to run Juwan Taylor right here. And I said, yeah. I said, I saw Juwan Taylor yesterday in the locker room. I'm going to run this interview for you right now, or at least a condensed edition of the interview. And I said, he's got a really impressive body. And he doesn't look like an offensive lineman. And we started talking about offensive linemen and bodies. And basically what came out of that is don't let that fool you. And it was Searcy who made the point, you got the greatest body of all time, but when you're lining up and bam, you got Peter Boulware on the other side of you, or you got Michael Strahan on the other side of you, or Bryce Pop, and not the Bryce Pop who came here. You know, Bryce Pop is an interesting story because he was so good when he played on the other side of Bruce Smith and Reggie White. I mean, arguably the two best defensive ends of that era, especially Reggie White. And Reggie White, if you start ranking defensive players, where is Reggie White in the modern era? I mean, I'm sorry, I can't go back to Alan Page and Joe Green. And Dick Nitrain Lane, and players like that, Deacon Jones. But if you go over the last, you know, 30 years, after Lawrence Taylor, where do you put Reggie White? Is he number two? Is he number three? Maybe some would put Ray Lewis in there. I don't know. Maybe some would put Deion Sanders in there. I'm just thinking out loud here tonight. But anyway, Bryce Pop was so good when he played in Green Bay on the other side of Reggie White. And he was so good when he was in Buffalo on the other side of Bruce Smith. He got here and no, didn't work out that way. Probably used a little bit out of position as well. A little bit longer in the tooth. But, you know, the athleticism. Cersei and Baselli were the two best athletes on the team. And without giving anything away, when they were talking about this youngster, Juwan Taylor, I will tell you this, for the most part, it was really good remarks. And it was actually Baselli who asked Leon, because he's on the right side, as we know. He's playing the right tackle position, not playing the left tackle position. But again, I don't want to get into too much of it. And they both said the exact same thing that I've been telling each and every one of you forever. When it gets to the offensive line, you have a real difficult time telling what's going on until the pads are put on. And that'll be in very early August, about 6 weeks away. Anyway, we got a lot to do with the Jags. That includes the interview. Again, I ran this real late a night ago, so I want to run it back, at least a couple of minutes of it. This is yours truly, Rick Ballew, with the second-round draft pick, Juwan Taylor.
Here with Juwan Taylor. I know it's tough to tell a lot of things without, you know, getting in the ditch and contact and things along those lines, mm-hmm. But how's the last 3 weeks gone?
Going pretty good, you know, just really adjusting and learning every single day, learning the playbook, learning the game speed of the NFL, but it's a lot of fun.
What's the major change coming from Florida to this in the NFL besides speed?
Really just playbook. You know, you got to learn a whole new playbook, a lot more tricks, a lot more calls, and just got to be able to lock in and focus.
What's it like to be playing now next to a guy like Nick Foles? I mean, 30 years old, Super Bowl MVP, and, you know, he comes in and the expectations change within the organization. What's it like for you as a rookie?
Oh, just a blessing, you know, to be able to come in and play with a great guy like that and a great leader as well. So, you know, look forward to playing with him, great guy, great leader.
You know, this offensive line, four of them return, then there's yourself. So the whole gelling process and, you know, majority of them were hurt a year ago, but what's that process like to come in and learn their strengths, their weaknesses, and the things that they're able to do?
Really just come in and learn every single day, you know, soak up everything they teach me. You know, there are a lot of great guys, you know, they all work hard, and, you know, they teach me something every single day.
Leonard Fournette's been here. He's also missed some time. What about some of the other backs? Have you noticed any of them? Have they stood out for you?
They all stand out. They're all great group of guys, a lot of great backs. You know, we got to open up a lot of holes for them this year. You know, I'm looking forward to that.
All right, Juwan, thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, condensed interview there with Juwan Taylor. That was from yesterday. Very nice young man. Extremely polite, humble, and he is really put together. I mean, he's got abs. You don't see a lot of offensive linemen with abs. And, you know, that's a good body in the NFL. There have been some bad body offensive linemen as well. Cam Robinson doesn't have the greatest body ever, okay? But there's your future. Those are your two bookend tackles. Jacksonville is going to live and die with that offensive line. And, you know, I have made this point quite a few times throughout OTAs, and I'm going to continue to make this point this year. It's one thing just to be healthy and put that offensive line out there. It's another thing for the offensive line to step up and become dominant, because that is what makes a great football team, okay? We know in this league, you don't have a chance without a quarterback. But you also need an offensive line. And you can even go back to 2 years ago where the Jaguars led the NFL in rushing. The eye test says no. It did. Outside of Seattle late, when Fournette had a big game on the ground and really put it together in the fourth quarter, and, you know, he played well in Pittsburgh in the playoff victory. I mean, just remember how bad it was against Buffalo. I mean, I felt bad for Jag fans. They've won 7 playoff games in their life. And here you were in your backyard taking on Buffalo, and it was a great win. You look back on it now, and, I mean, it was unbelievable. Those Buffalo fans were just atrocious. They were just god-awful. I mean, they were almost Philadelphia-esque. Hey, the Bill fans have taken over Jacksonville. Oh, really? They've taken over Wing It on Old St. Augustine Road. They've taken over Jacksonville. The Bills Mafia. They're going crazy in the parking lot at Wing It. Beware if you're traveling northbound or southbound. I don't know if it's at east or west. On Old St. Augustine. The Bills Mafia is there. Hey, come on. That was one of the worst football games ever. You scored a touchdown very late. You know, Bortles the Koyak. My point is that, hey, it's still a win. I mean, today it feels a lot better than, I guess, what the eye test showed you on that particular day. But the point I'm trying to make here is that the Jags were the best rushing team in the NFL. It just doesn't feel that way. And they couldn't run a week, 2 weeks later, they couldn't run in New England. They couldn't, especially in the second half. So here's Juwan Taylor. We don't know. We don't even know if he's going to win the job. Oblehe could win the job. Okay? We don't know if Cam Robinson is going to be back at the start of camp because of his torn ACL. For all we know, Oblehe could be battling for the left tackle position with Josh Wells. We don't know right now. But it's one thing just to say, all right, Robinson's back, Norwell is back, and he wasn't today. He was on a bike again. Highest paid offensive lineman in the league, unless someone signed this year. Highest paid guard in the league, unless someone was signed this year for a higher amount. If so, let me know, please. Hit me on the text line. 1010XL text line. Let me know. You folks are very good at pointing out when I get something wrong. So, by all means, tell me. I know that tackles have signed for more money. Oh, they left New England last 2 years. Solder went off to the Giants. And then, of course, the former Gator, Trent Brown, going off to Oakland. Now, this past year, Dante Scarnecchia just printing money. So be what, you know, certainly be aware of this. Robinson's back. Norwell's back. Linder's back. Can's back. Hopefully plug in Taylor. And then assume that things are great. Point I'm making, and I have made, and I will continue to make, they need to step up. Andrew Norwell has to play like the best left tackle, excuse me, best left guard in the NFL. That's what he's being paid for. Brandon Linder is so versatile. He's the team captain of the offensive line. He's the, you know, he's the man who's been around the longest. He's the silent leader. Yeah, he needs to be outstanding as a center. He's been good. He has. He's been good. He needs to be great. Okay? How good is AJ Cann going to be? I asked Dave Caldwell when they brought him back. And I went directly to the hiring of George Yarnell. What affected this? How much say did George Yarnell have as a new offensive line coach and A.J. Cann returning? Because everyone had him gone. They brought him back. Okay. Does the light go on? Does he become that much better now this year? Or is he as average as the day is long? I don't spend a lot of time on Pro Football Focus, but they were not kind to him last year. And then you have youth at tackle. Both tackle positions. Growing pains, okay. But consistency, are they getting better? It's a big year for Cam Robinson. All of a sudden, this is year three. He didn't go in the first round. Got a four-year deal. He is sitting on a gold mine if he plays well. Just talked about the money that Solder and Brown have got as left tackles. He is sitting on a gold mine if he can play. Jags may not be able to afford to sign him. If they sign Ngakoue, Ramsey, and Jack. You know what? That's a pleasant problem. If you can't afford to sign your own, great teams deal with that. Playoff teams consistently deal with not being able to sign their own players. All right, let's continue on with this. Lots happening with the Jaguars. Let's get the flip in some of his comments as well as Nick Foles. Again, the theme today was really offense, speed, the installation, the development of this Jaguars offense. We push forward on Into the Night with Rick.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, yeah, the texting and driving. I apologize. I didn't continue on with the cell phone story. Apparently they found it on the side of the road on Bay Meadows, and it's now in a bowl of rice. We'll see if they can save it. After that rain, there's no way. There's no way, there's no way.
I will say I had a buddy that dropped his in the toilet about 2 months ago, did the bowl of rice thing, and it did work, the bag of rice, and it did save it. So, I mean, I was shocked. It does magic, I tell you.
Some folks, just got a couple people follow me on Twitter, including one that is called Positive Talk with Joseph. So maybe someone rang up Joe and said, Ballew's got stressed because it's game seven tonight of the Stanley Cup Finals between his beloved Boston Bruins and the St. Louis Blues, and is getting ready to go on a vacation, and his daughter lost a cell phone. So now I got Positive Talk with Joseph to help me. I got all sorts of people out there offering me advice. Mike says, that's why my 13-year-old daughter has an iPhone 6, my old iPhone 6. But might I suggest life-proof cases for your phones? Waterproof, durable as hell, never had an issue. Just I buy all those gadgets. You just kind of take them off, you know? The gadgets, that is. I don't know. I really don't know. All right, let's get to some Jaguars. Let's stay with that. But the phone has been found. Hopefully I can avoid going to a store. That's all I really want out of this. Tonight's show is brought to you by the good folks over at Key Buick, Key GMC. All right, right now the number one selling crossover in America is the Buick Encore. All right, say about the 22% off all new Encores right now. All right, 22%. How about the Buick Envision? Say with the 22%, or make that 20% on all Envisions. It's great people over there, too. What a great staff. Brought my truck in to get everything taken care of before I head out of town on Saturday morning. Jeff Moore and his service department is A-number one. Conrad Lynch, the CEO. I mean, just phenomenal people. And if you buy a brand new Buick, a brand new GMC, that lifetime powertrain warranty remains in effect. You're not going to find that anywhere else in town. Visit them. Corner of Southside and Gate. Or go to KeyBuickGMC.com. See dealer for details. John DeFilippo, I really like this guy. He's very vocal. I mean, you can hear him from no matter where you are when you're out there watching practice. But, you know, I like his attitude. You can make the case that this is a show-me year for Flip. You know, he lost his job a year ago in Minnesota. Abandoned the running game, some said. You know, he was on his way to becoming a head coach after what happened 2 years ago in Philadelphia. Now he is starting again. But he has met the media twice. I thought he's been extremely engaging. And today was really enlightening when he talked about this element, which I think, again, most of us have been saying for quite some time here throughout the case of training or throughout the case during minicamp. But it was really good to hear this from John DeFilippo.
Yeah, it has. I'm going to be flat out honest with you. It has. We have a lot more speed there than I thought. You know, I mean, we have some guys in that room that can fly and some big guys that can fly.
Well, the question was asked about the wide receiver group and what do you like about this group? And his answer, you just heard, speed. And it's day and night from a year ago. It is. I mean, you have a quarterback who can throw the football. And he has been. They're taking shots downfield. And they've been going to three guys, Cole, Chark, and Conley. The three C's. They have been doing some good things in camp. They've been hanging on to about every ball. And they're really working hard on their route tree. Now, we've seen Westbrook. Not entirely. He's missed a few for one reason or another, an ailment, and he also exercised his right to use the word voluntary. Feel good about D.D. Westbrook. I mean, right now, I think just about every Jaguar fan out there listening would say he's going to be the leading wide receiver on this football team this year. But tell you what, those others aren't sitting around
just acknowledging that. They're not practicing that way. They're practicing like they want the football. And Marquise Lee running on the side, Terrell Pryor now added late. Overall, it's been a pretty good work early on, in my opinion, for this wide receiver core. All right, now we talk about where are they. Remember, the learning curve here. This is a situation where you install things in different phases, but you need to retain. And that's why guys need to be here. Okay, you need to be here to learn. You got a brand new offensive coordinator. You got a brand new quarterback. You can't afford to learn when you get here in late July. You need to learn right now. So installing this offense, Flip was asked about that.
It's pretty much almost all in. And so you have your game plan, specific plays, situationally, red zone, third down for the team you're playing. You know, the other thing we have to hit on once training camp starts is, you know, your last plays, your Hail Marys, your, you know, chunk plays to get the ball in the middle of the field. But I would say if you're going to put a percentage standpoint on it, I'd say 90 to 95% of the offense is in.
You know, and that's real good. And is there a little lip service there? Is partially some of that canned? If so, that's fine. I mean, that's the way that the league works. I don't think they're ever going to show you entirely what they want to do. They don't do that anyway. They won't do that when they practice with Baltimore. They won't do that in the four preseason games. There's always going to be wrinkles. There's always going to be some things that they do not show. And every offense is going to do that around the league. He had a lot of other impressive things to say. Hayes Carline wrote a good article about it today. If you get an opportunity to check that out, go to 1010XL.com. Hayes talking about DeFilippo and what he had to say today. Then Nick Foles. We had the clip, Foles. You know, I asked Nick as well. He was asked a lot about on the field and, you know, how things are working with him. I was interested, though, in what about the right now? And I asked Nick Foles that after practice today.
What's your plan for the 5 weeks off with some receivers or backs? Do you have anything set in stone yet?
You know, nothing set in stone now. You know, I've always been a big believer in family time. I know I play better when I'm my family's doing good and I'm with them and I spend that time being a father. And a husband, you know, for sure there'll be guys that will be around or, you know, pop in. You know, I spend a lot of it in California. I have a lot of family out there, a lot of nieces, a nephew. So, you know, but I'm sure I'll get together with some of the guys and throw. But nothing structured like a Jags West sort of thing. It'll be, you know, we're in the area. That's how I roll. So we just continue to communicate. And then when we get back here. We're rolling.
See, that is why right there I think voluntary OTAs are so important, because camp ends tomorrow and, you know, it's been early the first 2 days this week. The reason why they did that is they typically have meetings real early in the morning and then they get out on the practice field. And I mean, these days begin at 6 a.m. and, you know, they run until around now. May get out a little bit earlier. I remember seeing it on the chalkboard. I didn't retain it. It may end at 6, it may end at 7 or 8, but somewhere in that neighborhood. It's an extremely long period of time for these football players during OTAs and certainly during mandatory minicamp. But these men deserve vacation. They deserve to get away now and do things that they want to do for the remainder of the 5.5 weeks or whatever it is until they report. Rookies report a couple of days before the veterans. That is absolutely the way that it should be. But, I mean, how do you handle things if you are Nick Foles? Absolutely you want him spending time with his family. You want him going out and doing all the right things. Just like you want all the wide receivers to do the same things. But you also want them getting together and throwing the football. I mean, you hear about how Peyton Manning used to be able to get his receivers to meet him for a certain period. I mean, I'm sure you saw the Julian Edelman deal about how he traveled to, I think it was Northern California, and worked out with Tom Brady. I don't know how the relationship is right now between Nick Foles. He raves about Chris Conley. They spent a year working in Kansas City back in, 2016? Is there going to be any point at all during this where he can get with any of these wide receivers? Yeah, tomorrow practice actually begins at 10:25. They begin the last couple of days at 8:25. You know, Coach Marone will meet the media tomorrow at 12:15 right after practice. Those players are out of there. I mean, they're on airplanes, and they're going to different parts of the country, as they should. Going back to see their family, going to see their friends, going on vacations, doing whatever it is that they want. But is there going to be a time period where maybe Nick Foles can get together with a couple of these wide receivers? You know? It'd be pretty interesting. I was going to ask a second part of the question about, will you contact any of these guys and see, you know, can you meet me here? Can we meet there and that? But I think he answered it there by basically stating it's not going to be Jaguars West in California. But I don't know what the plan is right now. And I thought he was very transparent about it. So, you know, we'll see. But it can only help. And, you know, I will close by saying this. We'll get one more look tomorrow. But I think if you look at Foles and you look at Cole and you look at Chark and you look at Conley, very impressed. Very, very impressed. Understanding the circumstances that they're in. No pads, no punishment, just out there in gym shorts and a t-shirt. But it's looked real good. All right, we got much more to get into. I caught up with Leon Jacobs. You'll hear from him in hour number two. Dabo Swinney, shut up! We'll talk about that. Michelle Beadle, apparently out. I have a feeling I may have an opinion on that. All of that coming up in hour number two with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, drive safe. Slippery out there, no doubt about it. Talk about truck crash law quite a bit. I don't want you to have to contact them. I want you to drive safe. It's just, it's a challenge out there these days. People driving with their cell phones, man. Woo! I don't know.
You telling me that you don't check your phone, Rick, while you're driving?
Me? I'm not going to say I never have. While I'm driving, I'm pretty good at not doing it. But it, you know, at red lights, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say that I've never done it before. But one of the things I really enjoy doing more than anyone else is leaning on my horn when someone is even to the left or right of me, and like three cars go and they're the fourth car and they haven't moved and they're slowing everything down. I like to wake them up with the horn every once in a while. I need to get one of those fog horns. You know, like here we are.
Like moments, one like this, Rick?
Yes! Because we're moments away from Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Lord Stanley Cup. It was in town here 2 years ago. I had a photo taken with it. It was the big cat who got me, Curtis. You know, Jackson DeVille, the original Jackson DeVille. I don't know where I was. I was somewhere running around the players, and my cell phone was blowing up. I'm like, what? Well, I figured it was some hot chick or something, but it wasn't. It was Curtis. It was Jackson DeVille. He's like, bro, you need to get back to the media center now. And I'm like, why? What's up? Because they're running away with the Stanley Cup. They're about ready to pack it up. And I'm like, so I just bolted for it and got a photo taken with the Stanley Cup and talked to the guy. It is, I think, the coolest trophy in all of sports. I mean, the Heisman's pretty cool. The Lombardi's pretty cool. But something about the Stanley Cup. And you talk to some players who have won it and things that they have done in that Stanley Cup. And I'm talking about more than a little bit of champagne or an ice cold brew has been poured out of a Stanley Cup. I mean, there are some legendary stories. So they're going to play for that coming up in just a little bit. Game 7 tonight, Boston and St. Louis. Boston's only won a Stanley Cup on home ice once. That was 49 years ago. Orr feeds Sanderson Orr goal. Bobby Orr, Bruins won in four straight. Now, last time they won was 2011, and that was in Vancouver in a Game 7. Last time they lost on home ice would have been, I think, 2013, when they gave up two goals in the last 21 seconds and lost to the Blackhawks, if memory serves me correct. We'll see. But TD Garden's absolutely rocking tonight. And, you know, I'll say it all the time. If you may hate hockey, and that's fine. You may not understand hockey, and that's fine. Check out Game 7. I just hope that we don't come back in here tomorrow and have to talk about the officiating. It's already come into play in one game in this series. And I, believe it or not, even though it went against my team, didn't complain about it at all because I was so upset about what happened in Game 4 where they only got one shot on goal in the final 10 minutes. And Danton Heinen loafed, I thought, defensively, didn't pick up the stick and allowed that game-winning goal by O'Reilly. But then again, I'm wired a little bit differently. So enjoy it. It's a great week. Again, you got this tonight. You got the NBA Finals, Game 6 coming up tomorrow. Will we get a Game 7? The College World Series gets underway beginning this weekend. You have the United States Open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. How about the women's team? Was it 13 to nothing?
13 to nothing. Unreal. Unreal.
You know what stinks about that is, you know, obviously I've seen everything that's been being tossed around is that the excessive celebration has become a bigger story than the fact that they scored 13 goals. And I just think that that's people today. I mean, you got to find something to complain about. And people do. There's a lot of old school in me. A ton of old school in me. But I love celebration. I think it should be allowed in college football. I don't mind the bat flip. But a bat flip, when you're down 8-1 and you bat flip, like Yasiel Puig will, or like Puig will bat flip on a single, that's stupid. If you had a game-winning home run, you know, like you go back to the days of Encarnacion or Bautista and some of the stuff that happened there in Toronto, I had no problem with that. I got on a high school kid here. I don't know where he was, Providence or Bowles, who was bat flipping in high school. I think that's a little bush league. I do. I don't think you bat flip at the high school level. I just don't. You know, I mean, you can argue with me on that. That's okay. You can be wrong. But that's just me. That's my opinion. The excessive celebration, all this other talking about in soccer, I honestly really don't care. I don't. But it just amazes me how people just, they have to complain about something. I like the celebrations in the NFL. Okay? Who was criticized last year? Was it Westbrook who was criticized last year when he scored a touchdown in a game where they were down by two or three scores? And now, I understand the other side of it. Those are angry fans. You were part of a large losing streak at one point during the year, and Westbrook hit pay dirt, and he was excited about it, and they were trailing in the game. Some people just came out and said it that way. So people are going to complain if you excessively celebrate if you're losing. They're also, in the case of the United States soccer team, women's soccer team, they're going to complain if you're doing it, if you're winning. They're going to call it Bush League. I really don't, you know, I guess I got caught in the trap because I spent a couple minutes on it, but I really talked about sports in general. It's just too bad it takes away from, you know, the biggest story of all. That's their demolition in that very first game. The 79-17 says, last year the defense was ranked fourth and didn't feel like it either. This goes back to the comments that I made about 2 years ago leading the league in rushing. Yet it didn't feel like it to me, particularly late in the year. Back to his comments, the 79-17. Last year ranked fourth, and it didn't feel like it either. I mean, did you see the Jags play Dallas? So I guess from our perspective, it's different because we're used to terrible teams. That's interesting. Obviously, the Jaguars went from a last-place schedule in 2017 to a first-place schedule in 2018. There were changes there. Dallas was a woodshed game. Dallas was their worst performance in 2018. They were just steamrolled. And I picked them, I believe, to win the week earlier in Kansas City. They were playing really good football. They were off to a 3-1 start. They somehow just could not get anything going in week three against Tennessee and Jacksonville and lost a 9-6 football game. But they were 3-1 after the first phase. Marone loves talking about the four phases. I thought they could win in Kansas City. And if you remember that game, you look at it now and it says 30-14. That game was so different. The Jaguars moved the football. I'd like to look back at the total yards they had that game. I want to say the Jaguars may have had 450 to close to 500 yards in total offense against the Kansas City Chiefs. They moved the ball in between the 20s. Their problem was red zone offense. As soon as they got inside the 20, they couldn't do anything. And it was at a point where they were trailing, where settling for three really became a non-option. It was going for it even on fourth down. There were some turnovers in that game. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that game against Kansas City, they were not as bad as the record would or the final score would indicate. Next week in Dallas was just toast. I mean, that was their worst performance of the year. And they just were blown out in that game, as we know, 40-7. Let's stay with the defense. Leon Jacobs, it's interesting because he was a seventh-round draft pick, and the two seventh-rounders a year ago were the starters in week one. He is a strong side linebacker, and Logan Cook is your punter. Okay, obviously, they're expecting a lot more out of that draft class. You can get right through it, and you know. Starter, 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 starter. That's what they're thinking this year. Expectations are high for Taven Bryan and DJ Chark and Ronnie Harrison. You can go through the whole list. But last year was the seventh-round picks. Always like Leon Jacobs. Think he has a chance to really fit in, and probably this year he's going to get a much more much more of an opportunity to really be a player on this defense because of some things that have changed, including, obviously, Telvin Smith, even though Telvin, of course, is at the weak side linebacker position. Caught up with Leon Jacobs a little bit earlier today. Here's what he had to say.
You're with Leon Jacobs. Just about through it. One more to go. How's it gone so far?
It's going good, man. I thought this year's been better than last year, you know, getting familiar with the defense, getting more comfortable with it.
How much have you learned from year one to year two?
A lot. Just like formation recognition, just getting more comfortable with the playbook, and just feeling like who I'm playing around with defense.
Have you been able to notice any changes, you know, with Dom Capers coming here, some talk about maybe some exotic blitzes coming and some things on those lines? Have you noticed anything so far that really looks different from a year ago?
It's just a few things, but I think for the most part, we kept a lot of the same stuff from last year, so.
With Telvin not being here, how does your role change? I mean, you're no longer a rookie. It's your second year. But what changes in that linebacker core without him being out there?
I mean, obviously, you can't replace a guy like that. But, you know, we got the rookie cues stepping up. We got Ramik has been doing a pretty good job. And then, you know, Miles has been stepping up as a leader. So, doing good in that room.
What have you seen so far out of Williams, the rookie, Quincy Williams?
Yeah, he's real fast. He's picking defense. And then, you know, he likes to play football. So, that's all he can ask.
Yeah. Have you been able to notice a difference with Nick being there, the way the ball's coming out? It looks like there's more downfield passing attempts, you know, in practice compared to the way it was a year ago. What have you seen out of the offense so far?
Right, obviously, Super Bowl, you know, champions. just the way his poise, obviously the offense, you know, they're doing a lot of different stuff. So it makes us better, too, because, you know, we're able to see a lot of different stuff and we're able to play better.
What are your plans for the next 5-6 weeks?
I'm going to go home, go chill with family, and get ready for the fall camp.
Appreciate it, Leon.
So, Leon Jacobs, when are you going to learn how to clean your locker?
Never.
That's Avery. A bad response.
It was Avery Jones, who's got his locker right next to Leon Jacobs, getting on him. I guess he's a Those locker rooms are so spacious, too. I mean, it's crowded now with 90 guys in, but when you have the 53 and, I guess, practice squad players. But, hey, ever share? You know, you got any siblings?
No, I'm an only child.
Man, I shared a room with a brother my whole life growing up. Well, I guess I'm, 6 years older. It was awful. I mean, it was fun. He was my little brother, but you know what it's like. You know, you try to be clean, keep things your own, and your little brother comes, especially little kids like that. They're always a mess. That's just the way they are. But yeah, apparently that's the way it is within the Jaguars locker room. You mentioned Quincy Williams. Congratulations to Quincy Williams. He signed today. So the Jaguars class is taken care of, as it should be. It's a rookie slotted system. Everything is put together. And we shall now see. This defense, very interesting. I'm still a little concerned about safety with the youth. I think there are bodies at linebacker right now. I think they're going to miss Telvin Smith. I believe they're a better football team with Telvin there than with him not there. And I'm looking for a little bit of depth on that defensive line. That defensive line went 8 deep the last couple of years. They're an injury away from a pretty big problem there. But you can make that case about a lot of defensive lines in the NFL. There's just not as much depth there now. Now, I'm not saying that some guys will not emerge, you know, but at this particular point, I do. I really do. I think you have a playoff defense in Jacksonville. Okay. The defense last year, again, still played very well. They were still 6th overall in defense, and you lost 4 games by a field goal, a 5th by 5 points, or a 5th by 4 points, and a 6th by 6 points. And I know that's the league. I mean, the Giants lost a whole bunch of games by one possession last year. I think the defense is good enough right now for the playoffs. The attention will be more on the offense. All right, we have much more to get into tonight as well. We go until 9 o'clock, then Thompson and Coleman will take over. Glad you are with us. This is Into the Night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tonight's show brought to you by Key GMC, Key Buick. The lifetime powertrain warranty always in effect at Key Buick GMC. Right now, the new GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab is available. All right, save up to $16,500 on select trucks. It's a truck I drive, and I love it. You need to check it out as well. Just go by there and ask to take a look at some. All right, the Acadia as well. The new GMC Acadia, save over $12,000. Yeah, right there on the corner of Southside and Gate, or go to KeyBuickGMC.com. See dealer for details. Remember, as always, you buy a brand new Buick or GMC from Key, the powertrain warranty is always in effect. I'm looking at the 1010XL text line. A lot of people getting on me about the Blues here. Go Blues, go Blues. I get it. People hate Boston. I understand that, man. I mean, listen. I couldn't wait to see it in my rearview mirror when I was 18. I didn't waste any more time there. I got the hell out of there and head for God's country. I didn't even check out the campus. I just went halfway across the country.
You're going out of Florida. What else is there to know?
Hey, man, let's do it. I'm in. It was a no-brainer. Yeah, I'm a quality of life guy. It's got to be outstanding being there right now, though. I mean, the environment there. You know, there was a lot of foolish, unnecessary comments and wondering whether or not David Ortiz was actually going to show up tonight, you know, Boston strong. The man's fighting for his life, or was fighting for his life. And there have been 6 arrests now. Really bizarre story. We talked about in the Daily Mail how there has been an alleged scenario where Ortiz has had an affair with the wife of a, you know, a drug lord in the Dominican Republic. And, you know, shot in the back, either through the kidney, the liver, the gallbladder, the intestines. I mean, just ripped apart inner organs. Talk about that it wasn't a murder attempt, but maybe it was to paralyze them. I mean, there's all sorts of different theories. And trust me, they're going to get down to the bottom of this when it's all said and done. But the Dominican Republic, they've really gone through a flurry of bad story after bad story after bad story. I mean, one prominent hotel out there, they've had issues with the hotel bar. People have gotten sick. People have died because of it. I know when I was there in February, I was told flat out, don't drink the water. But I really liked it. I'm planning on going back in July. I mean, everyone, you know, that I'm associated with is like, no, don't do it. Don't go. And my response was, well, unfortunately, there's crime everywhere. I mean, there's crime here. And I'm going to Miami and the Keys next week. And my girls, there's crime. I mean, everywhere you go, there's crime. But you're going to find out, I believe, that this situation here with David Ortiz, they were trying to knock him off. And yeah, I can't explain that to you any more clearly since I was just right there in Santo Domingo, right where this happened. It's right on the water. It's gorgeous, but it's so run down. We went to this one place that was just beautiful and, I mean, gorgeous. But the locals there just litter. It's like no regard or respect for one another. And I guess that's kind of what happens in third world countries. And I guess you can make the case it happens around here. I mean, something as foolish as littering, that just drives me insane. Why would you litter? I mean, there's nothing wrong with leaving the place as nice as it was when you got there, or if not better. I mean, I won't mention the course, but I played recently on a very nice golf course around here, which had very few rounds. And I was on, and this is stupid, this is petty, but it's just my way of looking at it is if you do this, you probably also do that. But I'm on a very nice golf course, and I'm playing, and there's only a few groups on. And you get up to the green, and there's huge divot marks. And I'm not talking about this is a local public place. I'm talking about this is pretty exclusive, and I'm like, wow. I mean, it's just basic common sense etiquette. You fix your ball marker. Okay? There are weekend hacks who are 18, 19, 20 handicaps or whatever who get it and understand it. Even at a public golf course, and I think every golf course is great here on the First Coast. It's simple. You pound a green, you hit a green in regulation, or even if it's not in regulation, whatever, you fix your divot. Or you fix your ball mark. Divot is obviously on the fairway. That's just the way it is. But even on one of the nicest golf courses around here, people don't do it. So there are people who just look at it like, oh, maybe this is my only time through. I don't need to fix it. I'll never play here again. That's kind of the way I looked at over there in the DR. I mean, it's so ridiculously beautiful, but just not a lot of respect. I mean, littering right there on the edge of the water, there's babies, there's young children running all over the place. And people are just dropping, you know, beer cans and Coke cans and I don't know. I still think I'm going to go back. I loved it so much playing golf there. I thought it was a fantastic time. So anyway, we shall see. But the very latest there, a whole bunch of folks getting arrested and a lot of rumors. But more news to come, obviously, on the shooting of David Ortiz, who is resting back in Boston. flew him into Mass General. Had surgeries. Had two surgeries. Each and every night, we do Truth Teller News and Notes brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. They're based right here out of Jacksonville. They're the only law firm in the state of Florida where if someone has been hurt out on the road because of a truck, a tractor trailer, an RV, a bus, serious injury took place, even if it was fatal, make sure you contact TruckCrashLaw.com. Okay, go to them today. They're statewide. They're the only law firm who specializes in this and does this. They're based right here in Jacksonville. All right, we got a lot to get into. Boy, the Dabo Swinney situation. And I guess I'm late to the party on this. Apparently it happened during a radio interview back in the month of February. And, you know, I believe in this all the time. We can all say stupid things, things that we regret. We all have done it. I know I, for one, have certainly done it. I also believe there are times where you can overstep boundaries. Perhaps you're trying to be funny, and it can offend, whether it's, you know, gender equity or situations along those lines, obviously, politically speaking, offends a ton of people. Race, I basically don't excuse any of that. I just don't think that where we're at now, a racial analogy, a racial whatever, needs to basically be eliminated from the conversation. You just can't go that route. It affects too many people. However, now let's get to Dabo, who made just a massive mistake. Still can't believe he said this. I understand the attempt here. He was trying to be a smartass. He was trying to kid. He was asked about recruiting in the state of Alabama. Okay, going back to Pelham, Alabama, where he is from. You know, for those of you who do not know, Dabo Swinney played football at Alabama. He's an Alabama grad, and of course, he's now had tremendous success at Clemson. Well, this is the answer he gave, and I do quote, "I think it was all fun and games early on. Aw, isn't that sweet and all that stuff. I don't know about the walls, but I'm kind of like Osama bin Dabo," Swinney said, laughing. "I have to navigate my way through the caves and the back channels to make my way through Alabama these days. They aren't happy to see me, but it's all good. It's a good problem," end of quote. Again, I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to crack a joke. But this is just, it is the lousiest, it is the worst way that he could ever channel his feelings. Why would he ever bring up Osama bin Laden? Why would he ever do anything like that? I mean, that is considered by millions and millions and millions the worst day in our history. There are so many other things that he could have said where you could have taken it tongue in cheek. You could have disagreed but still dealt with it. Why go this way? Why would he ever do something like that? I find myself more times than not rolling with Dabo, defending Dabo. And again, people say stupid things. But this is reprehensible. It really is. I just can't shake it off as, oh, he was trying to be funny. Too many people were hurt by this, devastated by this, lost family members, friends over this. This is an awful choice by Dabo Swinney. And, you know, as far as I know, there's been no apology. There's been nothing on this. This happened on February 14th. It's now June 12th. This is a story that absolutely, totally flew under the radar, but is now just getting out. Michelle Beadle is apparently out. A couple of sources today, including Sports by Brooks, saying that Michelle Beadle will not return as host of ESPN's NBA Countdown. Okay. Also, Chauncey Billups, Paul Pierce will not return. They got a tough task. They can't compete with TNT's team. I mean, that's the best studio show in sports. Okay? I mean, it really is, particularly Barkley and Kenny Smith. Ernie Anderson does a great job setting the slate as the host. And, you know, I like Shaq, too. But Barkley's the star. Michelle Beadle, listen, I don't want to see anyone lose their job. I don't care who they are. I don't want to. I'm not cruel that way. But I am not a fan of this lady. She just flat out rubs me the wrong way. It's always like she's ready to rip someone an ass. She's just always pissed off at the world. And she's snarky. She's bitter. I mean, her deal about how she's not going to watch the NFL anymore, that big spiel she made, and it ended up costing her a job there, it just doesn't work for me anymore. Again, I don't want to see her lose her job. I'm not that hateful. I'm not. I don't want to see anyone lose their job. Okay, I mean, you can F-bomb me from here to there. I don't believe in that. Because I believe that even if you are an awful person, there are people who are relying on you. Okay? I mean, it could be a pet, for crying out loud. But that pet is relying on you. In a lot of cases, it's children or a husband or whomever. So I don't wish ill on anyone. But I really don't like Michelle Beadle. I think that she has kind of run out of steam. And she's obviously rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, because she has gone from making a tremendous living to all of a sudden now running out of jobs. Steve McNair, Eddie George will both have their jerseys retired in Tennessee. Yeah, no problem with that. The late Steve McNair to this day, a massive shock. You know, people around here aren't going to like it, and they shouldn't. I wouldn't expect you to like it. If you're part of the move on / get over it regime, all the power to you. I'll move on. I'll get over it when I'm in a wooden box. Okay? I expect there to be a large portion of Jaguar fans, including those who are listening, for the fact that I just mentioned those two names, it boils your blood a little bit. That's sports. It should. And if you knock them out down the road and you finally hoist the Lombardi, will it make it feel any better? No. It'll never leave you. The real, true sport fan, the true Jaguar, it'll never, never go away. It may make it a little bit easier to deal with because you finally have one, but you'll never forget the ghosts of 99. Anyway, those two will be enshrined. That's coming up later on this year in Nashville. There you go. News and notes. Truth Teller style. Brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. Again, they're the only law firm right here in the state of Florida where their expertise is simply this. Someone has been injured out in the road, even if it was fatal out in the road. And it happened by a tractor trailer, a truck, an RV, a bus, something like that. And a life was taken or a life was seriously affected because of an injury. You need to know truckcrashlaw.com and point that out to folks who may be dealing with this right now. They are statewide, but they're based right here in Jacksonville, and they're outstanding people, and they're here for you. So make sure you go to them. That's truckcrashlaw.com. All right, when I come back, final thoughts on tomorrow, because that is the last day that the Jaguars will work out here until very late July. It'll be our last opportunity to look at the Jaguars, so I'll give you some final thoughts on what I saw today and what I expect tomorrow. Also, I don't think I've mentioned him in like the last 2 weeks. Telvin Smith in the news. Another interesting comment he left on social media. I'll share that with you coming up as well, right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, tomorrow morning, the United States Open gets underway. Brooks Koepka trying to win a third straight United States Open. He's won two straight PGA championships. He's won two straight United States Opens. Par 71 out on Pebble Beach, one of the incredible golf courses anywhere. I'm a little biased. I like Sawgrass a little better. I do. It's close because Pebble's got you know, the it's got the water, but you got to take this into consideration. The weather at Pebble, like 6 months a year, can be terrible. You know, the weather here, what, 6 days a year is going to be terrible? And I'm a weather guy, even though I never check it. So I've never played that. I played Torrey Pines. I actually think Torrey Pines is beautiful. You know, the Masters, certainly I'd love to play. I think there's something more about just saying that you played the Masters would actually be, you know, just an incredible thing. But we shall see. But enjoy it. I mean, coverage, this will be a little bit different. This will be the Fox guys. Joe Buck, I actually think he does a good job. Been criticized for this a little bit. Holly Saunders. Dating, what, Cliff Kingsbury now? She'll be providing observation and analysis and studio host work and all that good stuff. So looking forward to that coming up tomorrow. You know, I was looking for some of these really good, you know, tee times, pairings, and there's some good ones. The Siwoo Kim, Ricky Fowler, Jason Day at 8:02 off of the first tee is pretty good. Then going off the 10th tee, you know, Justin Thomas, who's healthy now, Kevin Kisner, Bryson DeChambeau. That's good. How about going off the 10th tee, the group right after that? Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, and Graham McDowell. Are we all right with the fact that Phil's never going to win United States Open? Of course we are. He's a Hall of Famer. He's won, what, 5 majors? He's won the other 3. Hideki Matsuyama, Sergio Garcia, Tommy Fleetwood. Don't we usually have tradition around here where we pick some golfers?
Oh, we usually do have our 3 picks, right, Rick?
Johnny Vegas, Pat Reed, Louis Oosthuizen. Let's do that right now, as a matter of fact, Dan. All right, we got about 5 minutes left before Coleman and Thompson come rolling in. We'll pick 3, and we will pick a long shot. I believe, Matt LaVey, you are a little bit younger than I am, so I will go with some youth movement. We'll let you tee off first, off the first tee.
Well, thank you, Rick. I do appreciate that one. You know, you just touched on it a little bit ago. My favorite heading into this tournament is the one and only Justin Thomas, who is healthy again. I feel like he could make a run this weekend.
Justin Thomas says, Matt LaVey. How can I go against Brooks Koepka? The guy's won 2 straight. He plays so well in majors. He hasn't played Pebble well and hasn't played there since 2016. He didn't play earlier this year in the month of February. I'm going to go with the law of averages. Give me the number one ranked golfer in the world. Give me Brooks Koepka. Selection number 2 for LaVey.
Yeah, Rick, on this number 2 pick for me, I'm going to go with Dustin Johnson. I think this is the year he gets it done.
All right, DJ says LaVey. I want to go with him. He just won a week ago. Do I really want to do that? Part of me wants to go with him, but I don't want to have to root for him. I'm not telling you who it is because I don't feel like getting criticized tonight. Because I'm soft. I'm soft as puppy poo. You know what? One of the greatest sporting events I ever covered was 19 years ago at Pebble Beach. It was just remarkable. And I got to pay it forward. I'm going with Tiger Woods. I was lucky enough to be there back in the year 2000 to watch that. I think he's got a slim chance of winning. But for this poll, I'm going with it. Give me Tiger Woods. Pick number 3.
Yeah, for me, Rick, I'm going Patrick Cantlay. He's got a couple wins so far this year and, you know, finished, actually 8 top 10 finishes so far this year. He's a guy that's been hot lately. I'm rolling with Cantlay for my 3rd pick.
All right, I like that. I like that an awful lot. I am going to go with... See, I'm leaving a couple of guys out because I just don't want to have to root for him. You know what I'll do? Listen, he's on the bag now. We talked about it last night with Ann Liguori. All right, Jason Day has not played well this year. Stevie Williams now on the bag. I'm going to go with Jason Day. So our three picks are in. LeVay going Thomas, Johnson, Cantlay. Ballou going with Koepka, Woods, and Day. Give me a flyer. Who are you going with?
My flyer, Rick, I'm going with the one and only Sergio, one of my faves.
Sergio Garcia. Like that an awful lot. Let me see. I always pick Pat Reed in situations like this. Boy, Graham McDowell played well a week ago. Let me go with... Give me Tony Finau. I'll go with Tony Finau. He played well, obviously, at the Masters. So there you go. Our picks are in. And there you have it. You know, Jordan Spieth played some really good golf lately. I just don't want to have to pull for him. He just complains a little bit too much for me out there. Yeah, I thought about Bubba Watson, but I'm kind of in the same category. I just can't pull for Bubba. There's not a lot of guys that I dislike, and I'm not saying I necessarily dislike those two, but I'm exercising my right not to root for them. You know, the only one we left out was Rory McIlroy. And the reason why I left out Rory McIlroy is he just won a week ago at the Canadian Open. I don't think he's going to win in consecutive weeks. I'm just kind of playing the law of average there. So we'll see. Best of luck to everyone who is involved in this. And, boy, what a treat it is going to be over the next couple of days to witness the United States Open. No question about this. I mean, this whole week is just ridiculous. And here we are watching the Stanley Cup Finals Game 7. You know, you got the NBA Game 6 coming up tomorrow night. St. Louis just scored. Denny Thompson just came in, and St. Louis just scored the second he walked in. And that was a soft goal by Tuukka Rask. I mean, that went 5-hole on the ice. Those are the type of things that can happen in a Game 5. I mean, this is the best goaltender in the world. And it was a turnover in Boston zone. And, I mean, this is a shot that you absolutely – You have to make it. You know, there was a little bit of activity out in front of them, and it was deflected, but you can't leave the gates open. And with that said, now 1-0 St. Louis as we are nearly through the first period in Boston. 3 minutes remaining in the opening period.
Now, the 2-minute drill delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with a heaping side of peace of mind, not to mention the free chips and salsa, delivery, and setup. Visit moescateringfl.com.
All right, Denny Thompson is here. We are getting ready for the sports den.
We are. We were fired up, man. Fired up about tonight's edition of the sports den.
Mm-hmm.
As always, you can see it in my eyes, right?
Yeah, what's going on? Why all the excitement tonight?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just excited. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
That guy. But, yeah. You know what we're going to get into? Hacker made me think of something today. We did our Gator Bites podcast. And I want to get into what sport has benefited the most from the rise of social media. Because I think you can make a case, and I'm going to make a case, for college football.
Yeah.
Benefiting more than any other sport with the rise of social media.
With recruiting, too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a funny thing all of a sudden. So... We're gonna spend some time on that. I got Dr. Capasso coming in. Father's Day. Yeah, I mean, don't really go to your husband and say, "Hey, you need to lose weight."
Right.
You know, that's probably not the right idea.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna help us try to phase that. Like, how do you phrase that to your spouse? Maybe if your husband, you know, you need to lose weight, maybe you just go tell the wife, "Look, I need to lose weight. Can you get me this for Father's Day?"
I think it's a lot easier for a woman to say to a man, "Hey, tubby, lose weight," than it is for a man to say to a woman, "Have you been on the scale lately?"
Well, here's the problem, though, is like, you can go in there and get a gift certificate for a woman for Mother's Day, and they do like a million things. Mm-hmm. You can't really do that for a dude. They know what you're getting the gift certificate for.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
you're fat. You need to lose some weight.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
So Doc's going to come in and break it down? Does he have the verbiage to go along
with
it? Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. He's all-knowing, man. He's got it. He's got it down. Yeah.
This dude's
walking encyclopedia for health. Which we both needed.
Right.
So
let me ask you this. Maybe you can ask him when. Now I'm like a furnace. All right, I eat well all day, but I go home now. It's 9 o'clock and it's 9:30. I'm freaking starving.
Yeah.
Now I know that they're going to tell me that it's mind over the stomach. Control myself to believe that I'm not hungry. I try that all the time, but then I sit on the lazy boy, and my stomach is gurgling.
You know what works for me?
What?
Pizza and whiskey. I'm not hungry anymore.
There you go. There you go. All right, so that's coming up tonight.
All righty.
All right, Danny, have a good one. Thompson and Coleman coming up right now on a Wednesday edition. Then, of course, tomorrow will be the final day of mandatory minicamp for the Jaguars. You know, I, for one, I'm a little bit disappointed. I've really enjoyed the last month, 3 weeks of OTAs, and this week of mandatory minicamp. But everyone deserves some time away. I'll be doing the same thing. I'll be here tomorrow night and Friday night, but I'm going to take a couple weeks' worth of vacation up until the start of training camp in very late July. So I'll be taking next week off and then another week off after the ACC meetings in, I think it's the third week of July, right before training camp. So that's the way my schedule usually does work. All right, tonight's show brought to you by Key Buick GMC. The brand new GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab. You could save $16,500 off select trucks right now. Just choose a new GMC, right? Plenty available for you to choose from in the lot. How about the new GMC Acadia? Available as well. Save up to $12,000 off. Remember, you buy a brand new Buick or a brand new GMC from Key, the powertrain warranty is in effect. You're not going to find that deal anywhere else in Jacksonville. Visit them today, right there across the street from Tinseltown on the corner of Southside and Gate, or go to KeyBuickGMC.com, see dealer for details. That'll do it for Matt LaVey, and thank you. Played quite a few interviews tonight, including Leon Jacobs, Juwan Taylor, among others. More of Rick Ballew coming up Thursday night from 7 to 9 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.